Hallelujah. That was good. Well, no, that wasn't good, was it?
Awesome.
Thank you. That was more than good. Hallelujah. You know, we read in the Word that God loves us. We need to know that. We need to believe it without feeling it. But, yeah, but man, I felt, saying all that, I felt it this morning. Fantastic. Fantastic. It's so encouraging. When we were praying with Jean there. Hallelujah. That was great. It was a pleasure. Chris came out afterwards and said, you know, I just had a picture. I just, when you were all round there and praying with her, I just saw Jesus come along, put his hand over and lay his hand on her as well. In a sense, we are Jesus laying our hands, you know. But to see that, oh, brilliant. Jesus has got his hands on you, Jean. And he's not going to let you go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Awesome. Oh, after saying I want to preach, I don't really know where I want to start. Let's pray, shall we? That would be a good thing to do to start. Lord, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us already this morning. We've been able to come into this place and give you praise and worship, give you our offerings, minister one to another, be ministered to by you, have fellowship, have worship, encouragement, edification, exhortation. Awesome. Thank you that we've been provoking each other to love and good works this morning. Simply by being in this place and listening to you, Lord. So we thank you and we praise you for that. I thank you and praise you for the excitement in this place this morning. Thank you and praise you that we know that you love us. We know that you're with us. That's what your word says. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for your word. Thank you that we're going to gather around your word now. Thank you that we're going to focus on what's called the incorruptible seed. We're going to plant these seeds in our hearts. And I speak out that these seeds are going to find good ground. I speak out that people are going to understand these seeds. And I speak out that there's going to be fruit in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to continue today for the last in this series. I'm wanting to do some other stuff. And I can change my mind. I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor. I can do what I want. I'm a bloke. Yes, thank you. I do have the capacity to change my mind of my own ability. Is that okay, darling? Is that okay if I... Cheeky. Amen. Last in the series. You know what? If I do any more, we'll need to fit it onto a trifold. Which I'm going to try and get done. All the big ministries have trifolds. We've got a few trifolds. We're going to have some more. Going to continue today looking at our true identity. Who we are in Christ. What we have through Christ. All these phrases, if you look in the Bible, talking about in Christ, through Christ, in Him, through Him. If you read that, you can then know that what it goes on to say is me, is us, is you lot. Personalize it. If it says in Christ, the next bit is you. If it says something about having something through Him, you have it. If it says about being something in Christ, you are it. And that is our true identity. And what we've been looking at over the last 6 weeks, my six messages, is about that in terms of that is our position and it has nothing to do with our performance. So we are holy and we are a saint because of our position in Christ and nothing to do with what we do. We are righteous as a gift of grace through our position in Christ and nothing to do with our performance. It's all about position and nothing about performance. But the great thing is, folks, and this works, once you suss out and believe and understand and think and speak out that position, your performance improves. Because you've been renewing your mind to these truths, therefore you are transformed. That's what the word says. It's about renewing the spirit of your mind. Remember Ephesians 4, 23, 24. 23 on 24. Renew the spirit of your mind the way you think. And then when you do that, you can put on the new man. So you can soak in those things with the new man. And you can become them in your actions. And the new man was created in what?
Righteousness
and true holiness. Awesome stuff. We also spoke about how important a couple of fundamental biblical laws are in this whole process. As a man thinketh, so is he. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, nothing changes, Michelle. You just get the same message every time you come back to this place, don't you? Oh, Vic, get on about. As a man thinketh again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's true. You have to understand these positions that you are in because of Christ. You have to think about them and think on them, believe them, and then speak them out. I am righteous. I am a saint. Quite often I don't do very saintly things, but I am a saint. Now, the more I think that, the more I speak it out, the more I will behave in the way that the church in the world might think a saint is. I will get fruit. That's what we're talking about on Thursday night. It's maybe a better expression. The more we believe and think about and understand and speak out our position in Christ, the more fruit we will see in our lives in terms of less sin, more good stuff. You get that? It's all about renewing your mind and about being transformed. Awesome. So we've been looking at our true nature, our born-again spirit, our new man. And today I'm going to look at something a little bit different, a different aspect of this. It can be a more difficult aspect because no one can look at you and see that you're righteous or not righteous. No one can look at you and see if you're holy or not holy. But there are two things that we get because of our position in Christ. But folk can look at you and see that. And the two things I'm talking about are healing and prosperity. And the church doesn't like these. Because if people aren't healed, you can use the cop-out of, well, it must be that God wills it. Or it must be that God doesn't want it. But we'll see when we look through Scripture, no, it's part of the so-so package. Part of what Jesus died for our healing. And I'm going to say our prosperity. And I know the church hates that word. That's why when I did a series about it a couple of years ago, I called it the P word. Because folk don't want to hear about prosperity. Not in the church. See, there's another cop out. If you're poor, it's because that's the way Jesus was and that's the way Jesus wants you to be. Nonsense. We'll look at scriptures today that will show us that these two outward expressions, as it were, that people can see, are also part of your position in Christ. You get them in Him and through Him and because of Him. And it's summed up in one verse. Have a guess. No, that's later. Have another go. It's not 3 John 2. It's John 10, verse 10. There's somebody else. A few people shout it. You know what? We're going to look at loads of verses. There are loads of verses. And 3 John 2 is a great one as well. Above all things. Above all things, 3 John 2, I want you to live in health and prosperity. Above all things. What does it all mean? Oh, so over and above everything else, before God wants you to go out, this is, you know, listen to this. Before going and saving thousands of people, God wants you to live in health and prosperity. Before going out and doing loads of good works, and before tithing, before praying, God wants you to be in health and prosperity. Because you know what? If you're in health and prosperity, you're going to get and save loads more people than if you were. Sick and poor. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm getting way ahead of myself. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. We will look at that later as well, because that's really important. I am come. This is Jesus speaking, remember? I am come that they, who is they? Man. Anybody that chooses him. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Awesome. We're going to look at a lot of Greek today, because I'm going to blow a lot of nonsense out of the water this morning by using Greek. See if folk would just study the Greek and have a bit of honesty and integrity in their Bible study, we wouldn't have half the nonsense in church that we have today. Amen. There, I've said it. Again. Ugh, might as well get hung for a sheep was for a lamb. Jesus come that we might have life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This word life is Zoe. And listen to this, the definition. It is life both physical and spiritual. Very important when you start looking at some of the nonsense doctrines out there. Zoe life is both physical, i.e. this bit, and this bit, physical and spiritual, remember that. And Vine, the biblical dictionary, defines it thus. Life in the absolute sense, life as God has it. We're meant to live life like God. You see, there's no pharmacies and doctors in heaven. Because God doesn't get ill. There's no Wonga at 1000 APR in heaven. Because God's nae poor. God is not scraping to get by. God is not dreading the flu season in case he catches the flu. Life as God has it does not involve sickness and disease and poverty. Now, don't anyone who is sitting here, because I would guess every single one of us has got a situation where you're sitting there and thinking, well, I'm not 100% healthy and I'm not 100% prosperous. That's okay, we're all in this situation because we're all renewing our minds to the truth I'm just about to tell you. Hopefully after today, you'll have renewed your mind a little bit more and you may see a little bit more healing and see a little bit more prosperity. But if you keep looking at this, you'll see more of it in a month, you'll see more of it in a year, and this time in 10 years' time, man, you're going to be healed and rich. You know, or maybe tomorrow, if you have a huge mind renewal step change. I don't want to speak death in it and saying you're not going to be healed and rich for 10 years. But what I'm saying is it's a process. We're all on the process. We're all on a journey. And how much condemnation is there to them in Christ Jesus? None. So if you're sitting there, oh, I'm a little bit poor, I'm a little bit not well, don't be condemned. Oh, but Vic out the front says, I should be in health and prosperity. No, no, Vic's not saying that. God's saying that. Don't be condemned at anything what God says, because what God says, he wants and he will help you get. Okay? So don't be condemned. Oh, here he goes again, tell me I'm supposed to be healed and I've got a sair heid or whatever. Don't be condemned. If you are being condemned, and we'll talk about it later, the enemy is coming and trying to steal something from you. And remember, you can only steal something from somebody if they've got it. We'll talk about that later as well. Man, I'm only through half a page. I've got six to go. Hallelujah. Might have it is the word echosin. It means to have, to hold, to possess. Now, present tense, it is not about you will get it. It is about the here and now. I possess this Bible. You might say, well, yeah, that's, yeah, it might be a silly thing to say, but I possess it, I have it in my hands, I have it now. It's not something I'm going to get later. If I say to Nunzi, Nunzi, can you go and get me my Bible? She would quite rightly say, you've got it, you daft. Whatever. Whatever word Nunzi uses for me. I possess it, I've got it now. It means to have. It's a present tense, it's current. This life, this Zoe life, it's about now. And it's about physical as well as spiritual. So it is about healing. And then abundantly, oh man, this is the word perison. Now, I tell you, I love the Greek. And listen carefully, Carl. I'm not saying I don't like the English, I'm saying I don't like English. Sometimes English just doesn't do it. Yeah. Sometimes English is pretty poor in trying to explain something. Because the definition for abundantly, or for this word perison, is exceedingly abundantly above. It's not just abundant. It's abundantly above anything. And it's not just abundantly above. It is exceedingly. Exceedingly. I mean, Mr. Kipling makes exceedingly good cakes. This life is exceedingly abundant. You know, you all know Mr. Kipling's cakes are fantastic. Exceedingly good. No. Maybe that's not a great... It's just what popped into my head. But exceedingly abundantly above, greater, excessive. Here's a good one. This life, physical and spiritual, you can have now. This word perison means beyond measure. You cannot measure how good life is supposed to be when you're in Christ. These things that you get through him and in him are beyond measure. So what's this verse saying? Let's have an alternative translation. It's saying, because of Jesus, we might have life, both physical and spiritual, right now, that is great, that is in excess, that is exceedingly abundant above any other kind of life. It's what that verse is saying. Folks, life without Jesus is not life. I mean, what were we singing this morning when you said, if it wasn't for Jesus, we'd not be here. You know, saved our life is what he says, or what the song says. A lot of us believe that. Life without Jesus is not life, it is an existence. Yeah. Look back. See what you had before Christ. It's an existence. Jesus, what he gives us, what we get through him, what we get in him, what we get because of him, is life that is beyond measure, beyond any kind of life. It's God's kind of life. Above any other kind. Let's go back to John 10:10, because this is very important. I want to look at the first bit. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I want to look at this, because you see there's some people that say that second bit about John 10:10 is heaven. That's about when you die. Life is a struggle, but oh, it's going to be fantastic in heaven, and it's going to be abundant, it's going to be great. Well, it is. It's going to be abundant, it's going to be great, but it should be abundant now, here. And that's what Jesus died for. We're joking this morning. Stuart was saying something about a meeting last week where somebody came in and said, do you believe in life after death? And they had a discussion. It was a different kind of life after death you were talking about. And I said, yeah, but I believe in life before death. I think Christian Aid says that. We believe in life before death. Life is not an existence. Just wait until you pop your clogs to go to the good stuff. The good stuff is here, now. We might have it because of Jesus. So, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is very important. You can only steal something that somebody already has. You can only kill something that is alive. And you can only destroy something that is already in existence and working. Would you agree with that? Yes? No one, Dave, can come and steal your 72-inch telly if you don't have a 72-inch telly. See, every week I manage to get a 72-inch telly in as well, Michelle. Same message every week. No one can kill your cat if it's already dead. I picked cat because I didn't want to upset the dog people. Cat people. Nobody can kill your hamster if it's already dead. Nobody can kill your stick insect if it has anybody got any stick insects. Am I upsetting anyone? We used to have two stick insects. We call them Sticky One and Sticky Two. Sticky Seamus, one of them as well, yeah. You cannot kill something if it's already dead. So this thing that the enemy is trying to kill is alive in us. This thing that the enemy is trying to steal, we have it. We possess it. You can't destroy a house if it's not standing. If it's a pile of rubble, you can't destroy that house. So it's very important, you know, that this whole verse. I love it when it says, I am come and I'm going to do this. But it's also important to understand that the thief, the enemy, it's important to understand what he's doing. Because if we see what he's doing, we can know that what he's trying to steal, we already have it. It's alive in us and it's working in us. So he's trying to steal it, to kill it, and destroy it. Do you get that? Good. Because you see, this thing that he's trying to steal, this healing and this prosperity, we already have it. We already possess it. It is alive in us and it is working for us. So he is trying to steal that, trying to kill it, trying to destroy it. That Zoe life. See, we are not waiting to be healed. We are not waiting to move into prosperity. We already are that. In the same sense that we are righteous, holy, saved. We are that. We just need to see it manifest in the parts of our lives that everybody else can see it. Yeah. Great. We are already in possession of health and prosperity because we have this abundant life, because of our position in Christ. But Vic, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Vic, I'm a believer, but I'm sick and I'm poor. Well, if you're not well, it is because the enemy has been able to steal your healing somehow. If you're poor, it is because the enemy has managed to steal your prosperity somehow. And we do have a bit of responsibility ourselves. If we're not healed and we're not prosperous, it is because to some degree or another, we don't understand that, we don't believe it, we're not thinking it, and we're not speaking it out. So it's all my fault as a Vic. No, but partly my fault. If you're sitting here, you've been here for 4 or 5 years and you're still ignorant, that's not your fault. We have a bit of responsibility here, but it's all our responsibility. So don't get condemned about anything. It just means there's something you don't understand, you don't fully believe about healing and prosperity. Now, walk out that door, you're not going to get much help in this area. Go into another church and say you're ill, and you say, well, maybe that's just your thorn in the flesh. Always look at Sean at that point. Happy memories, Sean. You know, if you go into another church and you talk about being poor, and it's, oh, well, you see, we're just falling in the way of Jesus. Jesus was a poor man. Oh, poor Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. No, Jesus was rich. We'll talk about that later. I read a book recently called The Millionaire from Nazareth. If you want to offend people, go read that book and start speaking that out. Brilliant. Yes. If you're not well, the enemy has stolen your healing. If you're poor, the enemy has stolen your prosperity. And there is a responsibility in mind renewal on our part. a summary there. But we have to get to a place where even if we're feeling pain, we have to be able to say, I am healed. You know, I'm telling you, look in the mirror. If you sin, still look in the mirror and say, I am righteous and you love me and you still accept me. It's that same kind of thing. Even though we're not seeing it and we're not doing it, i.e. we're doing a little bit of sin now and again, we can say that we're righteous. We need to get the same stage about healing and prosperity. Oh, I can really feel that pain, but man, I thank you that I am healed. Yeah, okay, there's not a lot of money in the bank account, but I thank you that I am prosperous. See, if we start getting that way and thinking that way and speaking it out, we will start to see it. We need to start thinking about health and prosperity in the same way we think about holiness, righteousness, forgiveness, and all those things. We already have them. I don't feel very righteous. Yeah, but you're righteous. I think a lot of us have got past that stage, but a lot of us are getting stuck on healing and prosperity. Now, it's not all your fault. Like I said, you get no help out there. You get a lot of hindrance. If you've been in any church recently, apart from here in this area, I would suggest, you won't get taught about prosperity. Some places out there, you won't get taught about healing. You'll be actively discouraged. You know, you won't be encouraged to talk in tongues. That's of the devil. There's that kind of things. I know a lot of you have not been helped in this area. So don't be condemned. We're all on this journey. We're all learning together. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give us an abundant life. You know what else Jesus came to do? According to 1 John 3:8, you don't need to go there. He came to destroy the works of the devil. So part of him giving us an abundant life is doing things that can stop the enemy stealing, killing, and destroying. He came to destroy the works of the devil. If you've got, like I'm saying, if you've got all the health you need, but the enemy is stealing it and making you ill, that is a work of the devil. And Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil, so he wants to destroy illness by you understanding that you're healed. And it's the same for prosperity. Jesus does not want you to have stuff stolen by the enemy. He does not want you to have his stuff killed by the enemy. He does not want you to have his stuff destroyed. Jesus wants you to be able to keep what he has purchased for you. See, this is a real different mindset we need to get into. We must move from the mindset of, I want to get healed, to the mindset, I want to keep my healing. There's a big difference there. If you're saying, I want to get my healing, you're thinking you haven't got it already. If you're saying, I want to keep that healing, I want to see that healing manifest, whatever phrase you want to use, in your mind, you're starting to think you already have already got that healing. In the same way you are righteous, you have been forgiven, you are healed. So have them all together. I'm righteous, I'm forgiven, I'm healed. And then you might have a better chance of keeping that healing. Now, I'm preaching to myself here. You know my story. I still have something that I need to understand here. I'm not having a go at anyone because I'm in the same situation as most of you. I'll tell you what, though, I'm a lot better than I was a couple of years ago. And we can all be that. We can all be much better in a couple of years. We're all on a journey. Hallelujah if it's miraculous and it comes straight away. But it's not always like that. Jesus wants you to keep what he has purchased for you already. Let me ask you a couple of questions. You don't need to answer. But let's think about all the people out there looking in. And we say, oh, Jesus has come to give you an abundant life. What part of sickness and disease is life in abundance? What part of scrimping and poverty is an abundant life? Nothing. He wants you to live in health and prosperity. And prosperity, that is what Zoe is all about. Life much better than any other kind of life. And here's where some folk will get offended. But health and prosperity, we're talking about that. In a real sense, because of your position in Christ, that is your right. Demand it. Command it. You know, you're not demanding something from God. I demand my healing. Come on. Come on. I demand my healing. Give me it. That's not what we're saying. We're demanding our healing to become manifest because we already have it. We're commanding our healing to come into place because we already have it. We're not being arrogant and being disrespectful to God. I tell you, we're being disrespectful to God if we don't believe in healing and prosperity, because Jesus died for it. His son died for it. If we don't want it, we're not wanting something that Jesus has provided for us. That's disrespectful. Whew. If we're denying health and prosperity, we're saying it's not part of the Christian life, and we're denying part of his finished work. Are you saying I should want to be rich, Vic? That is absolutely what I am saying. You should want to be rich. But, I am also saying you should want to be rich with the right heart and want money in order to do the right things. We are not talking about Porsches and 72-inch tellies here. We are talking about furthering the kingdom. We are talking about having the ability to give in to every good work. You cannot consume it on your own lust. You know, I'm not against tellies and cars. You know, multi-billionaire, you ain't enough tellies and cars. But, you know, we are prosperous. We are in abundance in order to feed the orphans and the widows, in order to preach the gospel, in order to further the kingdom. We should want to be rich in order to do that. Oh, well, God will provide, Vic. Yeah, he's trying to provide by giving us loads of money, folks. You know, folks say, oh, no, I don't want to be rich. I just want enough to get by. You know, that's not wanting to help further the kingdom. That is selfish. And, oh, no, you know, no, don't give me some money for the ministry. You know, God will provide. Yeah, God's trying to provide by giving you money. You cannot do the work of the kingdom without money. That's a dirty word in church circles, but not an MGF. Ah, you know what, guys? I will take all the money you want to give me. As much as you want. Because I want to be rich. In the same way, I want to walk in supernatural health. Because if I'm in supernatural health and I am rich, I can do so much more for the kingdom. And I can get a big telly. No, I didn't say that. You know, you won't hear this out there. Churches just won't preach this. You know, for a while, it was something I wouldn't preach on. I was scared of preaching. For a while, I didn't even ask for money for an offering because, oh, I don't want to offend people. And then I had this revelation. No, you need to be paying me because I'm doing the work of the gospel. And we need to be taking up an offering. I need to give you the chance to be blessed by giving into the kingdom. We need to have the right attitude towards money. Use it wisely. Use the furtherance of the kingdom. Turn with me to 3 John verse 2. See, there's lots of passages that talk about health and prosperity. I had a bit of a laugh to myself. I mean, I tell you, a lot of weeks I'll say, you know, I made the mistake of looking up the internet. So I had a wee looky about health and prosperity. I looked up a couple of articles about 3 John 2. You see, 3 John 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." That's fantastic. But if you look at verse 1, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." So you see, folks, this was written to Gaius. It wasn't written to you. So you're not allowed health and prosperity. This was only written to Gaius. Gaius, lucky old Gaius, obviously lived in health and prosperity because that's what God wanted for him, not for you. There are teachings out there that will tell you that. If they believe that, You just got to throw out the rest of the new covenant. Because the letter to the Corinthians was not for you. The letter to the Hebrews is not for you. You know, the letter to Titus is not for you. So you can't say one thing and not say the other. Gaius was a believer. God is no respecter of persons. He has no favorites. If this was written to Gaius, who else is it written to? Me. You. This was written for you. Oh, it's brilliant. Above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Next bit is very important. Even as thy soul prospereth. What's your soul? That is your mind, will, and emotions. As you understand it, as you understand it in your head, you will see health and you will see prosperity. Because that you've got that all in your spirit. In your spirit, you are 100% healed, 100% prosperous. You've got everything you need. We know if we persuade our mind to what is in our spirit, the body, the flesh, has got to follow. That's why I keep saying, you know, as a man thinketh, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Believe that you're in health. Speak out that you're in health. You have more chance of being in health. Oh, flipping heck, it's August. It's soon going to be September, October, November. Flu will be coming. Oh, no, I wonder if I'm going to catch flu. Oh, no, I better not go. Well, what if I catch flu? You know what might happen? You're probably going to catch flu. But if you run about everywhere, first sign of flu, and start, if your husband starts to sneeze and you start shouting at him, no plagues have come nigh my dwelling, you're probably not going to get flu. God, above all things, wants us to live in supernatural health and supernatural prosperity. That, for me, is the definition of Zoe life. Exceedingly above anything else. Yeah, supernatural health. Supernatural abundance. Supernatural prosperity. Before going to church, before praying, before doing loads of works and good deeds, before any religious performance, before anything of that, he wants you in health. Or above all that, he wants you in health. And he wants you to prosper. Why? Because it is your position in Christ, and Christ died for you to have that. And to not want it is to throw it back in his face. There. To deny the finished work. It's like saying, oh, you know, I know the word says I'm righteous, you know, through the finished work of Jesus Christ. But you know what? I don't really feel it. I don't think, I know, I don't want it. Don't want righteousness. Because there are folk that say, no, no, I don't want prosperity. No, no, I don't want to be healed. Oh, no, the Lord's put this on me to learn. The Lord's put this on me to learn. Well, stop going to the doctor then and learn your lesson quicker. We don't say that about righteousness, do we? Oh, no, I don't want it. But we say it about healing. We say it about prosperity. It's throwing it back in Jesus' face. It's nae right. Above all else. But hold on, Vic. Because this is taught in the vast majority of places. This, 3 John 2, is talking about the spiritual. It's got nothing to do with the physical, Vic. This is talking about the spiritual. Do you know why they're saying that? It's because they're not seeing healing and prosperity in their church. That's why they're saying that. You can cop out here, oh, it's all spiritual, Vic. No, it's not. We know it's not all spiritual because of John 10:10, don't we? What does Zoe mean? What kind of life? Spiritual and physical. No, no, Vic. 3 John 2 is all about spiritual. It's nothing to do with physical. It's not physical healing. It's not physical prosperity. That's not right if you look at the Greek. We've looked at John 10:10. Zoe is physical as well as spiritual. Go to 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By his stripes ye were healed. So I just noticed that. It is linking righteousness, which we all believe, to healing, which a lot of us don't believe. If you're righteous, you're healed. I'm not seeing it in my body. No, but you're healed. In the same way as you might be doing some unrighteous things. You're still righteous. Heal is the word. Oh, here we go. I-a-om ahi. Sounds like those Indians you went to see, maybe you went to see the other day. I-a-om ahi. To heal, to cure, to make whole, to heal physically. It's what the Greek says. And it's in the past tense. You see that? Ye were healed. Talking to believers. So if they were healed back then, this is like 1950 years ago when this was written, or however many years. If they were healed in the past tense back then, we were healed in the past tense. Were healed. Isaiah 53. Because as well as the Greek, the Hebrew is really good and all. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is a prophecy. The fulfillment of that prophecy is in 1 Peter 2:24, saying you were healed. From between Isaiah writing to Peter writing, something happened. It went from being are to being were. It was the cross of Jesus Christ. At the cross, we were healed. Isaiah was saying, at the cross, you are going to be healed. Peter is saying, at the cross, we were healed. That word healed in Isaiah 53, verse 5, is the Hebrew phopho. It means literally to mend by stitching together. Figuratively, to cure, to heal. It is also translated as a physician, i.e. doctor. Now, I don't know about you, when I go to the doctor, he fixes me physically. I probably need to get to a stage where I shouldn't be going to the doctor. I will repent of that. I should be getting healed. Shouldn't be needing a doctor. But when we do go to the doctor, what I want to tell you is that the doctor heals you physically. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 is about physical healing. 1 Peter 2:24 is about physical healing. It's not about when we get to heaven. And it's not about the spirit. Because I tell you one thing, my spirit doesn't need to be healed. Because my spirit is the same as Jesus, and it is perfect and holy and pure and righteousness. And it doesn't need to be healed. So it can't be talking about the spiritual. If we know about spirit, soul, and body, I know my spirit's perfect. Your spirit is perfect if you're born again. It doesn't need to be healed. It's not spiritual. It is physical. Okay, Vic. All right. People might say, yes, okay, I'll take on board the healing. But I just can't believe you about the prosperity. What everybody is supposed to be rich. You know what, folks? There's more than enough money in this world for every single person who is alive today to be a multimillionaire. There is more than enough for everyone to be prosperous. Well, why isn't everyone prosperous? Because we don't all realize it, we don't all believe it, and because there is an awful lot of greed in this world, and man has caused this poverty problem, and not the Lord. Well, okay, Vic, I'll believe you on healing. But definitely, prosperity is about spiritual things. It's not about money. All right, let's have a look at some Greek. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, I know there is a lot more to prosperity than money. I look at my family. I look at my wife, my kids, my granddaughter. I am a rich man. Big amen from my wife there, if you didn't hear that on the tape. I am a rich man. I live in a beautiful country. I have a privileged life. I am free to come here and worship. In that sense, I am a rich man. I look at outside, I can go for a walk, I can get the fresh air, I can go and watch the best football team in the world on a Saturday afternoon. In that sense, I am a rich man. I am prosperous. But this verse is about money. You cannot look at the Greek and say, no, this is all about spiritual stuff. No, look at the Greek, this is about money. To become poor is the word tokiyoho, means to be a beggar, to become poor. Rich is the word pluthio, means to be or become wealthy. Well, Vic, it might just be in spiritual terms. No, the Greek says to be increased with goods and riches. It's about money. It is about money. You know, if you die, if you're strung up on a cross, you suddenly don't have anything. You're poor. He became poor so that we might become rich. Now, but Jesus was poor. No. Jesus was not poor. Jesus was rich. Jesus had a treasurer. Jesus had a treasurer. Jesus fed a gang of guys who were hanging around with him. Yeah. I took Dave and Stu for a burger on Friday. I know how expensive it is to have a I know how expensive it is to have a gang of guys around you try to feed them. Jesus had more than two. Sorry, guys. They only had a single burger each. I was the one with the extra chips. Never mind. They weren't that expensive. But Jesus and a gang of guys, I mean, you know, he fed them. But no, religious people will shout at you. No, Jesus was poor. Listen to this. If Jesus was that poor, why were the centurions at the crucifixion fighting over his clothes? Yeah, ponder that one. If he was such a poor man, why were they all wanting his clothes? I'll tell you why they wanted his clothes. Because they were good clothes. Because he was a rich man. You know, you think when Jesus was born, do you think he was given a tiny little bit of gold? Tiny little bit of frankincense? Tiny little bit of myrrh? Did I get that right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yeah. You know, when Mary and Joseph went off with Jesus, they were rich. When they came back, they would have been rich. Oh, but there's this religious mindset. No, I need to be poor and I need to be humble. No, that's selfish. Because if you're poor and humble, you can't give in to every good work. And not wanting to give in to every good work is not a good thing to be. Healing and prosperity, you see, was part of the great exchange that took place on the cross. I've preached on this, haven't I? The atonement. The exchanges that took place on the cross. He took our sin so that we could get his righteousness. In exactly the same sense, he took our pain and illness and disease so we could be as healthy as God is, i.e. not ill. He became poor so that we might become rich. Prosperous, live in abundance. It is all part of the sozo package. You've heard me preach on this before. Sozo, which is translated as saved or salvation, also is saved as healed, made whole, and it has a sense of prosperity in it. It has a sense of doing well. Man, Vic's doing really well since he left Diageo. Yeah, because that's the money's coming in. In that sense, you know, when folks say, oh, that boy's doing really well. You know, they mean he's getting money and he's being prosperous. His business is working. It's got that sense of doing well. Sozo, saved, but also healed and prosperous. Yes, hallelujah. On the cross, Jesus dealt with my sin and Jesus dealt with your sin. But he also dealt with your pain, your illness, your sickness, your disease, and your poverty. So that we could have this abundant Zoe life. If we accept righteousness and accept holiness, which hopefully you all do, you have, just by studying your word, you have to have the integrity, even though you don't see it, and maybe don't believe it too much, but you have to have the integrity to accept that healing and prosperity comes with righteousness and holiness and being a saint. It comes with your position in Christ. It comes through being in Him. Oh, have to accept it. So please stand. We're going to do a few declarations. If you want to sit, you might want to sit, because this is the last in the series. So I'm going to do the ones for today, and then we're going to do every single declaration that we have been taught over the last couple of months. So, repeat after me and believe it, because you have been healed and you have been made prosperous. Believe it. Oh, but I'm not sure, Vic. Now you'll accept your righteousness and your holiness. You've got to accept your healing and your prosperity. Brilliant. So, repeat after me. I am healed.
I am healed.
I am prosperous.
I am prosperous.
I am living an abundant life.
I am living an abundant life.
Hallelujah. Now we're going back to... Did somebody try to copy me there? Brilliant. I love you, Gene. You're fantastic. We're now going to do the rest of the declarations. If you remember, the first one is for the men, then the second one is for the daughter, the ladies, and then they're for every single one of us, okay? So, men, I am a son of the Lord Almighty.
I am a son of the Lord Almighty.
Ladies, I am a daughter of the Lord Almighty.
I am a daughter of the Lord Almighty.
Oh, that sounded so much sweeter than the men. Never mind. Now, everybody, I am a child of God. I have been adopted by God.
I have been adopted by God.
I am an heir of God.
I am an heir of God.
I am a joint heir with Christ.
I am a joint heir with Christ.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am safe in His love.
I am safe in His love.
I am secure in His love.
I am secure in His love.
Nothing can separate me from the love of God.
Nothing can separate me.
I am innocent in the eyes of God.
I am innocent in the eyes of God.
I am acceptable to God.
I am acceptable to God.
I am approved of by God.
I am approved of by God.
I will never be condemned by God.
I will never be condemned by God.
I am living under the new covenant.
I am living under the new covenant.
I am living under grace.
I am living under grace.
I am not under law.
I am more than a conqueror through
Jesus.
I am more than a conqueror through Jesus.
I am victorious in this life.
I am victorious in this life.
I am an overcomer in this life.
I am an overcomer in this life.
I like this one. I am a winner.
I am a winner.
I have right standing with God.
I have right standing with God.
I have been accepted by God.
I have been accepted by God.
I have been justified. I am righteous.
I am righteous.
I am holy.
I am holy.
I am not a sinner.
I am not a sinner.
I am a saint.
I am a saint.
And we're going to do the ones again today. I am healed.
I am healed.
I am prosperous.
I am prosperous.
I am living an abundant life.
I am living an abundant life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Speak those out every day. Think them in your heart. Speak them out of your mouth. And I tell you, it'll change your life. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.